The following program is paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
When was the last time you took a pain reliever for a headache or some other pain in your body? Do you remember the last time you drank water without concern of disease or contamination? You know, these are normal routines for us. But today we're going to hear about desperate needs in the Eastern African country of Tanzania. Providing fresh water to these unreached people has completely changed their world. My daughter-in-law, Shelley Meyer, will be sharing some insights on that. But before we get to that, we're going to visit with our youth specialist, Chad Daniel. His persistence and heart for the youth is contagious, and it's exciting to see how God is transforming lives with what he's doing. Watch this.
My name is Chad Daniel. I'm a youth specialist, a writer, and an all-out missions explorer. For the past 25 years, I have been traveling the globe ministering to young people. What I've learned in my travels is this. What is commonplace in one part of the world may not be so in another. I believe that in order to reach a generation globally, we need to communicate the truth of God's Word through tools such as video and social media. Now, when it comes to the topics that I use, the world is my playground. I've climbed the pyramids of Giza. I've chased down rhinos in the African bush. I swam with sharks in Cape Town. I've explored the ancient empires of Cambodia. I followed the footsteps of the Apostle Paul in Damascus. I've searched for endangered species in South America, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. We've produced youth programming in over 15 countries around the world. And why do I do all of this? For one reason only, and that's to create a media-based discipleship tool for young people. The Youth Fight Project is currently comprised of 30 DVDs, produced in 14 languages, and airs on over 800 stations around the globe. Through equipping and empowering international pastors, leaders, and parents, we are developing disciples around the planet. The Youth Fight Program has opened opportunities to speak to hundreds of thousands of young people face-to-face through large community outreaches, school assemblies, church meetings, and live media events. It is truly amazing to see the hand of God touch and deliver a generation who respond to Him in faith. And with the help of individuals and ministry partners around the world, we have and can continue to demonstrate the love of God to a generation that has everything to live with, but nothing to live for.
Well, Chad, can you give us a quick overview of your ministry?
Yeah, lots going on. And, you know, well, I couldn't do even a part of what I do if it wasn't for your involvement. You've so supported what we've done. And we focused mainly on teenagers. And we've always about discipleship. We've created a number of apps. The Youth Bite app is available. It's a year's worth of discipleship material for free for teenagers online.
Well, that's
good.
It's in
Spanish, English, Portuguese. It's also in Mandarin. We've partnered with
that's
New Version.
Great.
Which is great to make the Mandarin available.
And in English.
And in English. Oh, yeah. We've got it. And talking to your son, David, we're getting the television show done in Turkish for broadcast on El Hayat.
Oh, that's
And so
good.
It's great. Just continue making tools
which
and resources
is the station
available.
That we air on
hey,
in
that's,
the Middle
that
East.
Is the station, yep. And it's an honor to be on that. So making the resources available in the languages of the teenagers there is huge.
Well, I want to make sure that our viewers understand what you're talking about here. So there's really a need for ministry to teenagers.
Yeah, huge.
And, I mean, a huge need. And, I mean, there's good youth groups around, but not every church is willing to put many resources into youth and
yep.
children because they're not the ones that provide the income.
Yeah, they don't tithe.
And yet they are the group of people today that are in the most danger.
Yep.
And actually, it puts the whole world at danger because they are the future leaders of the world. And so they need to be ministered to. The problems that we had as teenagers are absolutely nothing compared
nothing.
To what
Correct.
Young people are facing today. So you have apps available, and I'm sure that everybody knows what an app is. We know what a computer is.
Sure.
We know what a phone is. And so they can give me the name of the app again.
It's Youth Bite devotional app. It's free on the App Store.
Youth Bite, and it's free.
It's free.
And people can get on there and get a year's worth of Bible study.
Yep. It's video-based, filmed around the world. A devotion, a relevant scripture, short prayer, just to keep the young people engaged.
And it's done in a way that they can relate to it.
Absolutely.
And I know you well enough to know you do some pretty crazy stuff to get
their
attention.
It'll keep them engaged. I did release one for college age called Soul Goals, which is designed to help young adults who may be in a place to where they're floundering, looking for some real goals, looking for a blackboard to begin to really see where they want to go. It also takes them a little deeper spiritually, helping them dig deep, find out what their call is, what their vision is. So creating that resource along with Youth Bites, the Youth Bites app, helps me do what I do best when I'm not there. You can do it at your leisure, and it just encourages you, and it'll challenge you. It's good material.
And, of course, we know that you do special meetings in many parts of the world, as well as here in the U.S., for people and teenagers that are at risk because of suicidal thoughts and tendencies. And that's just producing a tremendous amount of fruit. And so
it's incredible.
You said that we partner with you, but the fact is that our partners with us, and they're partnering with you. And so would you like to just say a word to our partners of appreciation?
Yeah, I'm appreciative of all that you do for Joyce Meyer Ministries. You have a heart for the world. You have a heart to see the Word of God get into the hands of the people who need it most. And so I just want to thank you for sowing in good ground. I've been a supporter of Joyce Meyer Ministries for so many years. And let me tell you what, that investment has proven to be one that's incredible and is reaching the world. Thank you for allowing me to speak to them.
Thank
I appreciate
you, Chad. Well, update us on some of your recent trips. What have you been doing recently?
Goodness. Brazil has been one. We launched our television program in Portuguese on two stations starting next month in the northeast part of Brazil, which is great because that's where some of your unreached teenagers are. There aren't a lot of churches there.
Yeah.
Trying to focus on going in, doing some evangelism, doing some larger life events, trying to shake that suicide thing off of the minds of a generation and then get them plugged into a church. And so I'm going to India this year, going to be doing life events there, going to be going back to South Africa doing life events there. So it's good just working with the generation that's at risk and partnering with local churches who are willing to then help the young people as they recognize there's a problem and then see them get to a place of health and hope.
You have a very unique and a very quality ministry, but unique in a way that teenagers will really pay attention.
They engage.
And so tell us a good story. Tell us something, some testimony of just what's happened in some young person's life.
Case in point, a couple of months ago, I was in Brasilia, and we had a meeting there. And it was a life event, rather large church. It was kind of an interesting dynamic because people weren't sure, should you talk about suicide in church? I'm not sure if the translation wasn't right, but it's like, look, guys, I really am talking about life and hope. And as I got up and I showed part of the video and gave my testimony and then just kind of opened up the altar for ministry, there was a lot that went on that I couldn't really tell because of the language barrier. But the altars were packed and people were weeping and parents were hugging, lots of things going on. Afterwards, a man came up to me and he said, I want to share a story with you. He said, one of the pastors on staff, he said he was so distraught because his daughter had wanted to kill herself and had been depressed for months and was, you know, it was terrible. They tried desperately to get her to come to the meeting. He said she wouldn't, and she fought and kicked the whole time. At the last minute, she came to the meeting. He said, what you don't know is that when she came forward, something, the Spirit of God so touched her is that she just collapsed under the weight of the anointing. And then she got up and began to communicate, and the pastor wanted me to tell you that his daughter's completely different. That something happened. She was saying, Dad, I don't know what was wrong with me. I'm sorry. Listen, he said, it's amazing. And the same guy came to me 3 days after the event and said, this girl went to the doctor. The doctor said, there's nothing wrong. She's wants to do right. It's just, she wants to live. I could tell that there was an attitude that had changed in her that only could have been initiated by the Spirit of God, to where she embraced life and got out of that pit of self-pity. But the spiritual aspect is that God did something for her that nobody else could do.
Exactly.
And she allowed him to.
That's right.
And the father just said, look, I just want to say thank you for loving enough to talk to my daughter. And
well,
because most people don't want to do that with teenagers.
I'm glad that we partner with you, Chad. And I'm personally very glad that you focus on teenagers.
It's a fun thing.
I've wanted to help teenagers all throughout my ministry because I know how important they are, as well as every other human being on the planet.
Right.
But they are people who have a real felt need and a lot of pressure on them today. And I'm grateful that you are dedicating your life to helping teenagers and that we get to help you and that our partners get to help you by helping us.
Thanks.
So thank you for being with us today.
And
keep on keeping on.
Amen.
Bless
you.
This is Edelmeni refugee camp on the northern border of Greece. You see the sea of tents, they're full of families. To my left, there is a food line that just goes as far as you can see, people waiting for hours. There's also something here that's quite wonderful, shipping containers that have been changed into a place for people to get clean, fresh water. They can prepare food, they can drink the water, they can even shower. So we want you to know that in this desperate situation, you are here making a difference. You're sharing the love of Christ in a very tangible way. Call the number that you see on the screen right now, go to the website, and stand with us as we help not only here, but all over the world.
For your donation today of any amount, we'd like to send you Joyce's audio devotional, Better Your Day by What You Think and Say. Contact us right now, 1-800-727-9673, or go to joycemeyer.org.
Well, I sat down with my daughter-in-law, Shelley, who leads the international relations team for Hand of Hope and is helping to raise awareness of needs around the world. She and our son, David, were recently in Tanzania, a country in East Africa considered to be one of the poorest in the world. Watch now to hear firsthand what love looks like as we provide one of life's basic necessities, which is water. The results are truly miraculous. Tell me, what are some of the surroundings of Tanzania like housing, water, schools, things like that?
Well, in this area where we're working, it's very remote. There wouldn't even be really what you would consider roads to get to these areas and these villages that we go to. There's no running water, there'd be no electricity. Most of the women would be walking for hours and hours just to find water. And then the water sources would be dirty water. And the children and the families, there's just lots of sickness caused by that, and there would be very little medical resources for them when they become ill. Many children die from those types of illnesses. There would, most of them wouldn't have any access to education, or their children would have to be sent hours and hours away just to go to school.
It's almost just like, but for the grace of God, like a hopeless situation. I mean, how, you know, they can't really get out of their situation without any education. And like you said, it's so remote that really, I mean, I asked David, how did you guys find that place? So there was a missionary working back in there that helped introduce us to it. And, you know, I love to go places like that where maybe nobody, people are not really cared about and bring them help. And so women in particular are very devalued in this culture, is that correct?
Yeah, this is a very primitive culture. It's a very dark place. Most of these villages, the people would have never even heard the gospel, never heard the name of Jesus. So there's lots of darkness. They have more indigenous type religions or animist religions where there's a lot of witchcraft and they follow witch doctors, are controlling a lot of what's going on. Women would just be considered property of their fathers and then their husbands once they marry. They're just used to do the work, to take care of the children, but have no value of their own.
So no electricity, no running water. What do they live in? What kind of housing?
They would have huts that they would build from sticks and mud. And normally when a husband takes a new wife, she has to build her own dwelling within his compound. So actually the woman herself builds a home for herself and then her children.
And do they have just one wife?
No, the men will have several wives.
Okay. And each woman has to kind of just take care of herself and she's like a slave to him.
Yes, the women and the children would even do, a lot of these tribes, the people are, would be considered shepherds, so they take care of animals. But it would be the women and the children who would even care for the animals. And then the men would take them and sell them to get the money or whatever they would need to survive to trade for other foods. But it's the women and children that do the work. Driving down through some of these areas, you'll see children like 5 and 6 years old with a herd of goats, taking them around and taking care of them. And like I said, the women will walk for hours and hours a day just to get water to bring back to be able to cook for their families.
I think you and David told us that the first time you went there, people had no clothes on.
In some of these areas, yeah, they would have been without clothing or just their, the men would wear like a shawl type of thing, but the women would just have like a leather thing around their waist that really wouldn't cover much.
And they still use like homemade bows and arrows?
Yes, they would hunt with bows and arrows and spears. And
I know they sent me back one.
Right. And in a lot of these areas where we're working, when missionaries first would come and try to share the gospel, they would actually be run off with spears and arrows and beaten even because they don't want the gospel there. But then when we bring in the water projects in the schools, then that opens them up to receive the gospel as well.
You know, I tell people all the time that you just can't argue with love. And so we need to help people with their practical needs. Many times I think before we even try to preach to them a lot.
Right.
I mean, it's great to say, hey, we're here because we love Jesus and we want to share with you about him. But people may not realize there is a lot of hard work that preempts people coming to Christ in an area like this. And so just like Jesus made an investment in our lives by going through a lot of difficult things, sometimes we have to make investments in other people's lives in order for them to be helped. Well, how is our ministry impacting the area with change?
Well, it's amazing, and there's so many different things to talk about how these projects have brought change to these people. The water projects themselves, because these people are shepherds and farmers, not only do we bring water for them to drink, but also water for their animals and their crops so that they can be sustained in many ways. And then also the water projects, there are areas, there's one particular village that David and I visited this time where two tribes had been at war over a water source. So there'd been fighting and even killing. But now that there's a well, there's plenty of water for everyone. So there's peace now between those tribes.
What was the water source they were fighting over?
Basically just a hole in the ground that would maybe be, yeah, but just really dirty, nasty water and not nearly enough for the tribes to have.
That's amazing, just amazing. And so do you happen to know, I don't know if you know or not, but what does it cost the ministry for us to go in there and dig a well? What do we pay for one of those?
It depends because the projects are different. Some areas we would only do a hand pump well. Sometimes if we know we're going to do a bigger project that includes a school and a church as well, we would also include solar powered pumps. But I would think for just a basic well, probably $6,000 to $10,000.
Now I know Dave and I personally wanted to build a well and a school and, you know, go the whole route. And I'm very happy that we were able to do that. And, you know, I'm sure that there are people watching today that have no idea that these kind of things are even going on, or even if they were, that anybody could actually do anything about it. But they can help.
Yes.
And it is important to help. And there may even be some people that could do a whole well. Just imagine, tell us again, because I want people to get this. How does it change a village when suddenly they have water?
Well, probably one of the main thing is just the health of the children, the families, the women aren't, the children won't die from diseases that are so easily prevented if they have clean water. But then also it stopped, the women don't have to spend half of their day just getting water. So they have more time to be with their families, to cook, to clean. Then they also are, like I said, taking care of the animals as well. It brought peace to that village. It enables us to be able to build a school because you can't build if you don't have any kind of water source.
Yeah. So tell us about the school. You told me which is one of the reasons why I asked you to do this interview today. You told me about how a woman who's educated is looked at so much differently than one who's not. Tell us about some of the abuse and what that whole mentality is.
Well, like I said, women really have no value in these particular tribes and in this culture. And even when a man takes a new wife, for instance, on the day that she becomes his wife, he will beat her severely just to prove whether she'll stay. And if she runs, she's not a true wife. But if she doesn't run, then she's a true wife. And there's such darkness that one, this particular tribe of people in each of their villages, they have a ritual, we would call it a youth meeting. And in this meeting, there's every man up to age 42 and all the women who are of age are required to come. There's no choice, you have to be there. And a man is chosen as a king and a woman as queen within this meeting, and they match up couples, and whoever you're matched with, you have to have intercourse on that evening. So it could be a 12-year-old girl and a 40-year-old man.
Wow.
And she has no choice. And if it's a woman who is married, then she may have a goat, and if she refuses, they would take a goat or a cow from her. But if it's a young girl who has nothing, they say they take it in flesh. And so she's made to lay on her back, and she's beaten, and often until she dies for refusal. But because they understand that education is valuable, any child who is in school and getting an education is not required to go to those meetings.
Wow.
So you're saving those girls from that horrible, dark ritual that they won't have to be a part of if they're in school.
Well, I'm so glad that we got to be part of providing something like that personally, as well as the ministry providing things like that. What kind of plans do we have for the future?
Well, we are continuing to do more wells in other areas, and then as we are able also to build schools and further to also in this village, there's also a church being built, and then when the church is built, through a partnership with the churches there in Tanzania, they will also provide a pastor everywhere that a church is built in those areas. So
in the main cities, then, there are churches and pastors, and so we're going way out into those remote places that, you know, I mentioned to David that I might want to go, and he's like, well, I'll have to try to figure out how I can get you in there. Yeah. And it's just so amazing when you see something like that, because we can't even imagine. We cannot even fathom somebody still living like that, or some of the things that are in their culture that they just don't see anything wrong with because they've never had any teaching. Now, have we worked there long enough yet, or do you know from what other people have done in that area, how do they then receive the gospel? Are they open to it then? And
yes, they do. And these missionaries that we're working with had been working among these tribes for years, but had never been able to establish a church. But now, since we've begun to do the wells, they've begun to establish churches, and they've got at least 5 established churches now within these tribes. So it's really making a huge difference in the gospel and then bringing light to such a dark, dark place.
You know, just to reiterate as we close here, one of the things that God really put on my heart years ago was that, you know, I minister here in the Western world where people can give contributions and they have nice things. And, you know, the church is called to outreach. We're not called to just gather things for ourselves and build great buildings. We're called to outreach. And the thing that God showed me is there's so many people that have such wonderful ministries. God has called them to do things that, to be honest, I wouldn't want to do. And but they're people that are ministering or trying to minister to people who don't have an offering to give them. They don't have anything that they can give them. So what he put on my heart was that I have access to people who can contribute, and if I can get a vision in them of what's needed over here somewhere, then through us or other people who are doing like what we're doing, they can give, and then that can get to the people, the missionaries over here, that have such desperate needs and nobody to really help them. And I think it's really every Christian's responsibility to do missions. It's every Christian's responsibility to care about the poor. And I think it's the responsibility of every individual local church to be involved in things like this. If they can't go, they need to give. And I think it's also important for every ministry to be involved in some way in helping the poor. And we don't just go to third world countries. We have outreaches right here in our own city. We have many outreaches here in the United States. I'm just really grateful that we all get to work together. And you know, it really does take all of us. It takes our partners contributing. It takes us managing and being willing to do these things. It takes people like you and other great missionaries around the world that are willing to actually go and do that kind of stuff. And so, once again, thank you. And I believe that what you said today will really impact our viewers. Thanks. What an amazing thing to be part of, building one life at a time with good, clean drinking water, clothing, education, and encouraging the pastors and believers there. We're bringing life and love to a community with practical help, which paves the way then for sharing Christ to those who don't know Him. And today we're asking you to send in a really generous gift to our missions works around the world. You know, we love helping people, but the only way we can do it is if we ask you to help us. And in doing that, we're joining together. And anytime we join together, the power becomes so much greater and what we can do becomes so much greater. We need your help. The people that we help around the world need your help. And frankly, I think you need the help because I believe one of the greatest things that we can do is help someone else. And always remember, what you make happen for someone else, God will make happen for you. Thank you for your generosity today. We really appreciate it.
For your donation today of any amount, we'd like to send you Joyce's audio devotional, Better Your Day by What You Think and Say. Contact us right now, 1-800-727-9673, or go to joycemeyer.org.